This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Carolina's Healthcare of Charlotte and UNC Healthcare based in Chapel Hill are two of the largest hospital systems in the state. On Thursday, they announced a plan to join together to form one of the biggest health systems in the country. Executives are calling it a marriage, not a merger. But the happy couple's plans are raising questions about what this will mean for patients and their premiums. WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin has been asking questions of his own, and he joins us now. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us more about the scope of this union.
Very large. Carolina's itself was $9-plus billion, UNC $3-plus billion. So you're looking at an entity that would generate in the neighborhood of $14 billion in annual revenue, 50-plus hospitals, you know, countless physician offices, et cetera, et cetera. So a pretty massive organization. And you mentioned that it's not a merger. We should be clear on the top. It's going to be something that falls just short of a combination of assets. The assets that belong to the state will remain with the state, at least for now. We'll see what happens in the future. But it does, while it is a combination, it does stop short of an actual merger.
Right, so practically speaking, what does that mean? Combine how? How will things change?
They get to basically join for a whole number of things. So they'll do, they'll negotiate reimbursement rates together. They'll buy gauze together. They'll, you know, operate health clinics in rural areas together. So in many ways, the forward-facing portion of the organization will, you know, for all intents and purposes, look like a merged entity, but importantly, the assets will remain separate.
All right, well, let's talk about how the CEOs of those two respective companies are talking about this merger. Give us a sense of, tell us first what Bill Roper is saying, CEO of UNC Healthcare.
His big thing is that this is going to improve access to rural healthcare. One of the big divides in North Carolina, as I'm sure your listeners are aware, is that there's very excellent, actually, healthcare that is provided in Charlotte, Winston-Salem, and the Triangle, the Triad, I should include Greensboro, of course, but that if you get out to some of the rural areas, that access to care drops off pretty quickly. And so the executives are saying that this will help them bring better care to the rural areas.
All right, so here's Bill Roper, CEO of the UNC Health System and Dean of UNC's Medical School.
It will allow us together to address North Carolina's most pressing healthcare challenges, including the need for increased access to care, especially in the rural parts of our state. And we'll also be well positioned to assist our state in the behavioral health problems that we are together facing.
All right, Bill Roper, UNC's CEO, UNC Health System CEO. Jason DeBruin is here, our data reporter. So how does this do that? How does this help them deliver better care to rural areas? And I think he's talking about mental health care as well, right?
That's right. And maybe an offshoot, particularly now that we're seeing a crisis with opioids. That's one of the biggest problems facing our state and many other states, I'm sure, as people know. So one way to do this is just by, you know, saving more money as a larger entity. One of the biggest criticisms that I'm sure many people have heard over the weekend is that this will now allow this behemoth of an organization to exert more reimbursement pressure on private payers. Just real quickly, in healthcare, health organizations, health systems negotiate reimbursements for literally everything, a knee replacement, hip replacement, cataract surgery, what have you. These surgeries and everything are all pre-negotiated with, say, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. If you can't come to an agreement, then the health system goes out of that insurer's so-called in-network. And of course, if your health system is out of network of a major insurer like Blue Cross, then that's, you know, bad for whoever's in that whoever's insured by that right, by that group, because then they have to go either pay more or go to a different system. Well, if your health system is so large that essentially a health insurer would say, I have to have this health system because otherwise it's going to be very difficult for me to do any kind of business here, then that health system can exert pricing pressure on the insurer. Ultimately, that means they have to pay more for the knee replacements. Ultimately, in order to pay for that, of course, they have to raise premiums, meaning that your premiums are going to go up at the end of the day. Now, that's one of the big criticisms.
Well, and it's fascinating because most of the health insurance companies, many of them are nonprofits, certainly the largest in this state, Blue Cross, a nonprofit, these two health systems nonprofits. And yet, it is the battle of the titans when it comes to negotiating these things. Blue Cross, with such a large market share, has been able to, in many cases, have a favorable negotiating position. Now they're looking at a little more competition or a little more pushback.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that I've sort of been saying for several years now is that There's basically three big drivers of healthcare costs. Two are sort of easy to point the finger at: the health insurance companies and big pharma. The third one that does deserve a bit of the blame are these health systems that are continuing to also drive up cost. The ACA did a good job, many different things, but one of the good things it does is through the medical loss ratio penalty that it applies to health insurance companies. Insurers are now required by law, because of the ACA, to spend 80% of all of the revenue that they take in on healthcare. So if they don't spend 80% on actual claims, they have to cut a check back to you, the insured. And they've been doing this now for several years. Blue Cross has met their, you know, so-called MLR for every year, and they more than they exceed what they're supposed to be paying. So their argument will be that, look, we are now a good actor, so to speak, in terms of the premiums that we collect go towards healthcare. If our costs go up, we have to pass that along to the customer, period.
And it also put pressure on hospitals to do more than just deliver procedures. You have to have outcomes. So if somebody visits you in 30 days, there's a penalty there. There are other ways in which accountability, both for the insurance industry and hospitals, was increased.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, because we talked about this criticism. You talked to somebody named Kevin Shulman, who's a Duke professor of medicine and a business administration. And here was sort of how he framed the critique of this large marriage.
Most of us in the state are not happy with the cost of health care. You know, if you ask people, do they enjoy spending, you know, $18,000 a year of their employer and their money on health care, they would say no. The question is, you know, what is this going to do to the price of health insurance? And they're very clear about it. They want to merge and raise the cost of your health insurance.
That's Duke Professor of Medicine and Business Administration Kevin Shulman. I should point out, Duke is also a very large healthcare system in this area.
That's right. But he's part of the university, not really part of the health system.
All right, that's one side of it. But you hear Bill Roper talking about having economies of scale, therefore some savings that he can put into rural areas and mental health, which is going begging at the moment.
Exactly. And I think, interestingly, both Mr. Shulman and Dr. Roper can both be right. One of the things that we have seen here, especially in North Carolina, is sort of an unwillingness at the political level to subsidize health care for poor people. We did not expand Medicaid, and certainly one would not expect us to expand Medicaid anytime soon. And if you look at the political situation at the national level, one certainly cannot expect there to be more of a democratization, if you will, of health care dollars. In some ways, I think a reasonable person could say that Dr. Roper, whose background is in politics and in population health, sees what's happening at the national and even state level and saying, if somebody's going to bring better health care to the rural areas, we, the healthcare providers ourselves, have to do it. Well, as any charity will say, no margin, no mission. So in order for UNC Healthcare to have enough money to bring better health care to the rural areas, they are going to need to make more money in the urban areas. So I think it's very possible that Dr. Roper's big mission here is to form a giant behemoth, yes, increase rates for the employer-based insurance companies, the people like you and me, that, you know, the $18,000 that was mentioned by Mr. Shulman, with those extra profits, pump that money into rural health care in places like Anson County, Warrenton, and all over the state that are in dire need, and that way have the rich subsidize the health care for the poor. If the politicians aren't going to do it, maybe Dr. Roper, UNC Healthcare, and Carolina's Healthcare will do it.
Yeah, it's fascinating to think about it in that light, in that frame that you just offered us, because in a way, as most developed countries know, they spend substantially less on health care than we do because they have single-payer systems that enjoy economies of scale and get better health care at lower cost. The rest of the world has figured this out. The United States, very far behind. So if you're not going to do that as part of national policy to kind of create these larger entities that can have some leverage and bring costs down, perhaps some nonprofits at the statewide level can do that. I mean, that could be part of the thinking, is what you're suggesting.
Absolutely. And maybe to build off your point, they get better health care for all the primary and sort of basic specialty services. In the United States, we still get the best care at the very top end. So, you know, for the very specialized cancer services, or if you have some very rare disease, the best place to be is the United States. there's a lot of money to be made there, and there's, you know, a lot of very specialized doctors that are in those areas. If UNC and Carolina's healthcare can take the profits they make from those very specialized cases and then distribute that down into the, you know, into rural areas, that could be a net positive for the state.
And we have to watch out for this, because they could take those profits and put it into some of that high-end stuff that attracts the best practitioners and makes them look glamorous, which has happened, and also charge the highest premiums.
You're absolutely right. I mean, no one is purely altruistic. You know, look, for example, at Rex Healthcare, which is a UNC-owned property. They just built the new, you know, a big, fancy, new, shiny hospital for $270 million. They didn't add a single licensed bed, not one licensed bed. Now, they'll, you know, they say that they combine services and that, you know, with their new MRI machines and everything, they're able to provide better care. That might be true. But at the end of the day, they have now this shiny new hospital where the folks on their boards of directors can go to their cocktail parties and say, look at this shiny new hospital that we have that happened under my watch. Oh, by the way, they attracted a heart and vascular group over from Wake Med. So it's not like they even went that far where they potentially providing where they were, you know, possibly providing the same level of care. So certainly there is some, you know, cachet that comes along with pumping your quote unquote profits into healthcare services, i.e. fancy new buildings. But I think both can be true. I mean, I think you can take some of the money and, you know, make your directors happy by giving them good chatter at cocktail parties, but also provide good care to the many rural areas of North Carolina that are lacking in access.
Jason Bruin, WNC data reporter, as always. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
Just ahead, in a time when we are practically addicted to our devices, is technology running our lives or ruining them? And is that the same thing? We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.